I'm Simon Kahlstetter, founder and artistic director of DeckRive. Thanks for having us. I'll immediately pass over to Peter, who will give a wrap about his work, and we'll then go into a conversation. But it actually should be a conversation, so we'd like you guys to be involved. So if there's any questions or anything that you want to contribute, feel free to do so. So thanks, Peter.
Okay, thank you very much. Can you hear me? Okay, great. Thank you very much for coming. I would like to give you a short idea how we imagined this presentation tonight. In the next, let's say, 15 to 20 minutes, I would like to introduce you to some of my previous projects, just to give you an idea who I am and what I have done so far. And then an extra probably 5 to 10 minutes, I'm going to talk about my current project, which is entitled The Hero Mador, which is actually the main topic of our conversation tonight. So my name is Peter Pucluș, as you can see. I was born in Romania in a small town, Kolozsvár, and I moved to Hungary after the revolution in Romania, and I studied photography at the Moholy Nagy University of Art and Design in Budapest, and I graduated in 2005, and then I went to Paris where I studied new media design. And then I went back to Hungary and I did my doctoral research. That's basically my background. Tonight, I will talk to you about three different projects. The first is 1.5 meter, the second is Handbook to the Stars, and the third is The Epic Love Story of Warrior. And on top of that, I will give you another short presentation, as I told you, about this current project. Very quickly, 1.5 meter, it's a book, what you can find on the table. And the idea of this book is to document my friends and my family and everybody who used to be close to me in that time. I did this project between 2004 until 2011, let's say. That's what I call it today. It's a diary of a young photographer, and it's about my friends and family and all the connections between them and me. And this is the time when I realized that I would like to tell stories through photography. And this time it was like just very short stories, like changing in the space, or for example, this is the same doorstep. And these kind of stories came back in the book itself. So for example, when you open the first page, you see the same image as in the cover, except it's a different situation, and then the same image appears later in the book. So basically, it's these are photographs of nice people sitting at home in very nice situations, combined with their living spaces, some kind of environments, installations, or leftovers of a bedroom or a bathroom. There is one specific image in this book, this one, which I understand as the last image of this project and the first image of the next one. When I was taking this picture, this cardboard wasn't behind the tulips, and when I was looking through the camera, I realized that I wanted something more. And then I put the cardboard and I used the same color of tape as the tulips were. And then I realized that I created something. And I knew that the new project will go in that way, that I create my own images and not only found as you saw before, like a sort of documentation. So this is what led me to Handbook to the Stars, which is a book, again, unfortunately we cannot show to you tonight because it was sold out pretty quickly. The idea of the title comes from the night sky. If you look at the night sky, you see smaller stars and bigger stars, and people from the beginning of time started to connect them to each other in order to give an understanding to the environment, to the universe, and they imagined, a Scorpio behind them. Of course, it's nonsense, there is no Scorpio on the sky, but I was pretty obsessed by the idea how the human mind is able to connect unrelated things together just to be able to understand what happens. And actually, this idea follows in the book that I created like nonsense images by myself. So I mean the topic or the object of the images are created by me in most of the cases, and in sometimes they are documentary, sometimes there are nudes or there are still lives or portraits. So it's all kind of topics. And what I wanted to happen here is to create a connection between unrelated things. And what happened then, while I was working on the book itself, I had a very nice help from Claudia Kussel, who at the time used to be the curator of FOAM in Amsterdam, and she helped me a lot. And the idea was that we highlighted the six milestones from the project, what you can see on the table, and then we connected these milestones with different other images from the project, and I will explain to you how this connection works. So, for example, if you take the same image, as I told you, this is the first image of this project, what kind of connection I'm talking about. So, for example, next to this image, in this imaginary map, what I created, so this is the idea of the night sky, that you have bigger stars and smaller stars. And if you start from a bigger star, and then you go to a smaller star, let's say, there, sometimes you see some kind of connection based on a color, or you see the same object, or the same idea, or the same message. So, for example, that was a color, then the tape was on the floor, and on the floor you had some light bulbs, and then you have light bulbs on the next image. Or, for example, if you go to the other direction in this imaginary sky map, you see the squares of the tiles on the wall, and then on the next image you have squares, and then you realize it's an open cardboard box, and then on the next image you have like a closed cardboard box, and then there is a box. So it's like all kind of ideas which helped me to create these connections between different images which were unrelated. And then what happened is that I printed this map in 2 by almost 3 meters paper, and I folded it in a kind of unusual way, and that was the first maquette of the book. But first, before I go to this idea, I would like to elaborate a little bit about the book publishing thing. 1.5 meter was published by Kirer Verlag. I think this is very like interesting in my practice, that I'm trying to go into different ways with book publishing. So from the high end until the low end. So from black and white photocopies until a very renowned publisher. So for example, Kirer Verlag, it's a very powerful publisher. They have a big like design house and a publishing house with lots of team. They have the power to go to book fairs and signings, and they give you lots of visibility. And by the other hand, Handbook to the Stars was published by an NGO. I'm sure you had never heard about them. It's a couple, an artist couple working in Slovakia. They run a railway station in the same time when they are publishing books and doing residencies, etc. And I had a different feeling with the book experience with them. I felt a little bit closer to this self-publishing idea because I was able to manage many things by myself. For example, when we were working on the cover, the first idea was that the cover is printed with the blue colors, but it didn't work, and things like that. So it's I had to carry the boxes from the printing house to the presentation room. So it's like it's much closer experience. And when I received the books from the printing house, I just started to lay them on the floor, and I realized that the map I was mentioning before, I was able to recreate it in a physical way with the actual books. And this idea led me to the book installation, which is based on 32 books of Handbook to the Stars. And here I recreate the map through the book. So it's always the same book, except it's a different page, and then I recreate the same idea. I had this solo show at FOM in Amsterdam, and that was the first time when I showed objects from the project. So not only the photographs, but also the objects what I created to be photographed. And this led me to somehow escape or going a little bit outside from the medium of photography and to extend my practice. And for example, this is one of my favorite pieces. It's called Test Stripes, and then it's a plaster head sliced in five different slices. They are moved around, and it reminds me to the black and white photo printing, when you printed, for example, a face and you had to measure the light, you had this slice, this gradient of different grays. So it works like that. Or also I started to create small installations like this one, the I Love You Pineapple, which was at that time at FOM the most photographed piece in the museum. And this idea comes back later, how I started to work with the audience, it's themselves, the people who are visiting my shows. They are becoming part of the concept or of the message. The third project is Epic Love Story of a Warrior. You have some copies on the table as well. It's a book again, published by self-published Be Happy in London. The main idea of this book is an imaginary family in Central Europe during 20th century. I'm trying to tell their stories, and I learned a lot from my two previous books, and I'm using a little bit the same concept, like connections between images in an aesthetical way. So sometimes there is a color which is going through, sometimes there is a message, or the same person, or whatever ideas help me to keep a certain flow across the pages. This is how my studio looked like before I was going to print the book. It was like 1 year ago when I was working with the selections, and I also did many dummies before we went to print, and in the same time I kept working with the objects in the together with the photographs. For example, this is a piece entitled Golden Decadence, which contains a bicycle in the exhibition space and a small photograph. In the photograph you have a lady painted gold and holding the same bicycle what you have in the space, and plus on the bicycle you have some golden body prints. So it tells a story about where she is and why is she printed gold? Is she riding? Is she coming back or not? So there is another piece entitled "The Statue of a Left-Handed Soldier," which is again a little bit the same concept, that you have a structure in the middle of the space, you have a photograph, and they are connected in a certain way. That instead of the actual model in the construction, you have a pile of 6,000 black and white photocopies. And black and white photocopy in the cultural context means that you can take them for free. And as soon as you take the first one, you realize that the second page is different from the first. And then the third is different again. And then you realize that it's like a rotation. You see these models rotating, and it's not happening anywhere except in your mind, because you start to use a different medium. I just want to quickly mention, I was very proud about being the unseen artist in 2015, and they commissioned me to create the campaign image for the art fair, and I used, as a basic idea, I used a lost sculpture of a Hungarian sculptor called Csáky. And when I saw this image for the first time, this is the only thing what remained from his sculpture. And when I saw this sculpture for the first time, I thought it was me. And I hired a Hungarian sculptor named István Buda to recreate the sculpture based on the photo, including my face as well. I thought it was me because if you look at my face, you know, I also have this kind of hair. But more funnily, you see the distance between the lips and the eyes, and I had the same problem that, for example, you know, this distance is almost the double of the of, on the other side. So I liked this idea. So what happened then that I had the white plaster sculpture and I started to paint it and created different backgrounds behind it, used different lights and colors, etc. And that was mainly the basis of the project. And I also showed an empty, like an unpainted version of the sculpture at the fair, and it was painted with color light, and it was a color light orchestra, shadow and color light orchestra going around it, and yeah, people could just walk around. And again, I was relying on the public, and people started to take pictures with my piece, and it gave me an idea how I can involve the public or the visitors in the project. And this happened earlier last year when I had three solo shows in the same time in Germany. I will quickly mention them. The first solo show took place in January last year at Konrad's Gallery, and it was entitled New Works, and I was mostly showing like actual objects in the space, for example, this moving light, which was used when I was taking these pictures of a model with different lights around her head, and I used the same light. So I'm like highlighting some kind of points, and I created all kinds of installations, and they are always related or they are based on the medium of photography. So, for example, a vintage postcard of the Statue of Liberty in Budapest, and then I imagined the situation of the sculptor in his studio, and the model is taking some rest between two poses, and then there is a piece from this palm leaf extra on one of the frames. Or for example, this one is called Diana. There is a male model standing on a structure, and in the space you have the actual piece or detail of the structure with his footprint. The other show, what I'm very proud of, it's the my first solo show at Robert Moretz Gallery, 1.5 meter. Here, what I really liked is that that I was able to show this project entirely. All prints were cyberchrome prints, and I also showed my drawings, which used to be the basis of this entire project, because I will explain later how the drawings became important in my practice. And the other show was Unsafe to Dance at CO Berlin, where I showed a handbook to the stars together with the epic love story of a warrior. And what I wanted to tell here is that I had a straight line of images across the wall and some objects in the space, but there were some kind of communication between them through the space and between the images themselves. And what happened here is that we invited the public to take pictures of my pictures and to start to play with them, and we created a hashtag called Remix Peter Puklush at CO Berlin, and we invited the public to post them. And I like the idea when, for example, three pineapples, what you can see here, came in a row, so it was like a bingo on Instagram. It was a bingo hit. Okay, quickly to the next thing. Last year in September, I went to New York. I received a residency in New York. I was invited by Residency Unlimited. This is a place what you should really check out if you would like. If you are an artist or a curator and you would like to work in New York, that's the place what I recommend to you, especially because they are very well connected and they're very well rooted in the in the New York art community, and they can really help you with their network. It's run by three Europeans, a French lady, a Portuguese guy, and a Serbian guy. And before I went to New York, they sent me a questionnaire what I was going to work on, like, what will you work on in New York? And at the same time, something very interesting happened that I'm pretty sure that you are not familiar with this company, Wienerberger. They are based in Vienna, and they are the number one producer of bricks in the world. So every bricks what you see in the city, it's coming from one of the factories of Wienerberger. And they started to build a photo collection a couple of years ago, and the idea of the photo collection is that they hire a photographer from every year from Germany, Austria, Hungary, Romania. These are the countries where the main factories are, and the artists, the photographers, have to work with the idea of the brick, with the concept or with the philosophy of the brick. Some of the artists go to the closed factories and they photograph the buildings. Some of the artists go to the still working factories and they photograph the workers there, etc. I came up with the idea of my family. I'm a father of two, and since then I'm a father. I realized that that having a family is a little bit similar than building a house, because when you are building your family, the children, the baby, is the minimum unit of the extension of this group of people. Just like in the house, like, you have a minimum unit what you cannot divide anymore, and this is the brick. And I explained the idea to them, and they liked it. So that was the project what I was working on in the United States, because they have a they are present in the United States as well, so they had factories, I had access there. So I got some bricks from them, I started to work with the idea, and that was the basis of the project we are going to talk about tonight, the Hero Mother, or How to Build a House. Here are some, just a few previews from the project. I will talk about them later in more details. It's still an ongoing project. I started it like a year ago. There are many images planned in my notebook which are not yet done, but I won the first prize of WebAI Festival in Switzerland a couple of months ago, so I know that I have to finish this project in about a year. Actually, my show will open in 8th of September in 2018. So I would like to quickly mention some other things from New York. For example, I had an idea to go to drive along the Hudson River. That was the project, which is failed like shit, really. The idea was actually what the title says, that I rent a car and I drive along the Hudson River, and I stop very occasionally and I photograph these kind of things on the way. So it was like a very classical American landscape or traveling photography idea. And I ended up walking along the Hudson River only on Manhattan Island, and I realized that the idea is very boring because there is nothing, or I didn't find anything what pleased me. The other thing what I'm working on at the moment, it's I'm teamed up with a Slovak artist named Katarina Kruškova, and before I went to New York, she wrote me two texts, and it gave me some kind of inspiration to start working with Polaroids again. And now I have like a growing collection of my own Polaroids, and I don't know what to do with them, but I know I still work on it, and this is something which is very important for me. Now we are at the end of this presentation. I just want to quickly highlight some interesting things what I'm really proud of, but we don't have the time to deeply talk about them. I am going to have a new book. Actually, it's already printed. It's entitled From Zero to O, and it's together with the artist I mentioned just earlier. It's printed, but not yet presented. We are still looking for the right moment to work on it. There is another project I'm working on. It's the collection of Central and East European photo books, and I would like to do a collection and a network of photo books. I'm very proud of the fact that I had my book presentation in New York at ICP Museum, plus the Epic Love Story of a Warrior was nominated for the Aperture and Paris Photo Book Award last year. And I'm also very happy that with Robert Morat we go to Paris Photo for the second time this year. And this is how his booth looked like last year, with the installation of Handbook to the Stars, together with a small detail of the book installation and the slides, the sculpture itself. What else? Yeah, that's the end. Was it quick?
I think it was good.
Okay.
I liked it.
Okay.
Thanks, Peter, for giving this insight into your work and your practice, and especially how it evolved. Before going into the new project, you didn't talk about it too much yet. You mentioned some things and where it started. What basically would interest me first is, I mean, right now, I would say a big part of your practice is in sculpting and taking pictures of the sculptures. So would you consider yourself a photographer or an artist working with photography, or a sculptor using photography? You know, like, maybe talk a bit about how you see yourself and what big part sculpting plays in, or drawing or whatever plays in your practice.
Yeah. I don't consider myself a photographer. However, I'm a trained photographer. I have my diploma in it's entitled Visual Communication Designer / Photographer. But I'm not. I prefer the first part, actually, because I don't like to use the tag of photographer on me, because I believe that it immediately creates borders around me, because I have many ideas, many messages I would like to transmit, and I believe that the technology itself would limit my capability to explain myself. So this is why I prefer to call myself an artist, using mostly the medium of photography, but I would like to keep the freedom to myself to use whatever I want, so I can dance if I want, because that's probably the best way to explain something.
Okay. Do you want to say something about the Hero Mother before we start talking about certain images or subjects that you're addressing in the project, even if it's work in progress, it's not finished, but there's already, you showed some pictures and you basically draw a little line from where it started, but maybe you want to give us a brief idea about, you know.
What I am going to show here, it's actually, this is the actual application what I sent to Vevey earlier this year, and it starts with the idea of how we are taught about our universe, or what people teach to us, and I came up with the idea of the Maslow pyramid. I'm pretty sure that all of you are familiar with the concept. And I was thinking a lot about it, especially since I'm a father and I have to run and keep a family alive. One day, my son was playing with these cardboard boxes. I'm not sure if you are familiar with this toy. It is supposed to be like, these are cardboard boxes, and every other box is smaller than the previous one, so you can put them together, or you can go to the other side and you put the biggest one on the floor, and then you continue with the smaller ones, and then you have a big tower, what you can see here. So this is how it should be when you play it correctly. But one day, my son built that one, which is exactly the opposite of how it should be, and he gave me the idea that, hey, come on, why I am expecting him to do something which is, you know, so it's like that rang the bell, and this is how the entire thing, the thinking started about this project. And also there is a very romantic part of it, that the first time when the idea of this project came, it was when my wife was giving birth and I was holding her hand, and I couldn't do anything else except, you know, thinking, and I just started to think about this project. So because you can't do anything as a man there. So many things are coming to my mind when I'm talking or when I'm thinking about this project. I'm not sure how I can involve them into the photo or the sculpture or whatever part of the thing, but I know that they are present and I would like to work with them, especially like equality between men and women, or the idea of a strong woman and a weak man, who I am, actually. So also the idea of when you are a father, you know, you are supposed to be the strong column or the main foundation of the family. This is what the society expects you. This is how your parents teach you. And as soon as you start complaining about fatherhood, in a certain way you become the weak person. And you know, we are told that boys don't cry, but I ask why not? Why I can't explain myself, or why I can't just talk about it? Because, you know, as a woman, I think, and it's very great that you can even organize a conference about the topic of having a career and having a family in the same time. But as a man, I think it's a little bit like a taboo still in the society. I'm not sure how it is in Germany, but in Hungary, people look at me in a funny way when I'm talking about it. There is this startup philosophy like failure is the best way to develop, and I'm talking about startups because I have a company which used to be a startup, and I'm pretty close to this concept and idea and etc. So there is this startup philosophy that fail again, fail better, and this is how you develop the concept of your company. But I'm not sure if it can translate it to the family. So do you have a second chance with the second family, with your second life? Do you have a second life at all? Or there is the concept of heroism, like we have this American concept of heroism, which is like Batman and Superman, which is like an unfollowable concept of being a hero. And then there is the European version of the hero, like Richard Dreyfuss or Sophie Scholl, who have to die to become a hero. And I don't like either way, because I think to be a hero, you have to stay alive, because you cannot raise a family, you cannot pay taxes if you are a bronze statue in the middle of the town. So also there is a political way in this project. Probably you are familiar with some of the politics what are happening in Hungary, and there is a recent law saying that the family, the term of a family equals a married man and a woman with their common child. And I think it's awful. So it's no gays with adopted children. It's not a family. Dead or divorced parents are not a family. I would like to talk about this as well. There are many things which I would like to, yeah. Anyhow, maybe I show some of the images now. Mm-hmm. That would be good.
Thank you for giving this insight into your process of thinking about the new project. What strikes me in particular, I mean, you're addressing many issues at the same time, or they're all wrapped in there. On the one hand, it's very personal. On the other hand, it's very, you're trying to become, to be more generalistic, so to say, maybe also in terms of reaching other people, because, I don't know, whatever, what would interest me, or what I want to ask you is, how do you feel about, you know, your role as, on the one hand, an artist, and what maybe society or the art world or the photography world that you're in, what they expect from you, and on the other hand, what society and you being a father in society, what, how that, you know, this balance or unbalance or whatever, how that makes you feel and how that is also reflected within the project.
Yeah, it makes me feel pretty bad sometimes. Yeah.
Why?
Well, because it's like a contradictory situation. Like, yeah.
In what way you feel like it's?
I feel like the society expects from young parents those things which they were never taught. They were never practiced. There is no school where you can learn parenthood, and you have to learn it by yourself, of course. But I think that there are many levels of being a parent, which could be transmitted to the next generation, like easily, like mathematics or like any other sciences, and I feel like it's a little bit stressful for me that I have to go through the same failures as my parents had to go through, and it's very difficult to them, especially I don't know about you, of course, but in my case it's very difficult to talk about this about fatherhood with my father, and it's he's still expecting me, you know, to be the strong man, and I can't really talk to him how difficult it is, and I can't really ask him how it used to be when I was the same age as my son is at the moment. So I'm not sure if I answered your question, but
there's still the kind of art world part missing that I, you know, in terms of, you know, how does, do you feel as a father being an artist within the art world and addressing these issues, these topics now with the new project that are very personal on the one hand and very kind of, you know, maybe applicable to many other parents?
I'm pretty much afraid of this situation. So I feel like I'm talking too much about myself. I feel like I talk too much. I open very intimate boxes to the public, and I don't really know if it is art at all, because it all started as a therapy for myself. I wanted to understand my new situation, and I had some idea how to like recover myself or how to deal with the situation. But then suddenly it became art, or people started to be interested in it, like you are at the moment. So I have to grow up to the request in a certain way, and I don't really know if it is the good way or, you know. But of course, obviously, if you expected a very like straightforward artist, I have to disappoint you, because I'm not at the moment about this project. So, I'm having plenty of doubts about this project, if it is good or not, or, you know, whatever should I do with it. Please delete it from the recording.
But I guess it's just a normal part of the process that you're in, as it's in progress, and, you know, this entire thinking progress. I guess many other image makers or artists can relate to that feeling that you're having right now in terms of, you know, more generalistic. But maybe let's get back to the point of, you know, you using sculpture and sometimes very abstract or still images most of the times, and how much that, you know, how much you're trying to transmit your ideas and the concept that these images are part of through those also very abstract images at times, you know, what's, for instance, that one that we're seeing back there. I mean, they're all triggering once you know what the project is about. but how do you try to get that trigger out?
Yeah, definitely there is a message what I would like to transmit to the public through these images. I don't really know what the message is. Probably it's like you can have a better relationship with your children than your parents used to have with you, or something. I don't know. So there are things which are yeah very difficult, and I'm really afraid of sometimes about them. So how for example, my parents don't know anything about this project. So
so you're afraid to
show to them and to ask those questions anyhow. I think I still not answering your question.
It's fine. And still, I mean, I'm asking questions, but if there's any one of you who wants to contribute or has questions, feel free to
Before you ask any questions, I have my first question, and what I realized recently, that what you see in the images, there is one thing missing. For sure, it's the mother, it's the hero mother. And I don't, and I realized why is that. I know it will come back, she will come to place later, I know, but then what happened is that I saw, I always combine these two words, not a psychologist for the first time in my entire life a couple of weeks ago, and I showed her this project. I wanted to talk about it, and she told me that it's not about the hero mother, it's about me, and it's about my father, actually. And so before you ask where is the hero mother, I answer this question. She's not yet there. She will come later.
Maybe the mother is also an interesting or very important part of the project. So in terms of your relationship with your wife and the mother of your children, and you being an artist, traveling a lot, and all the maybe also insecure parts you were talking about, you know, providing stability, providing whatever, a house, or I mean, that might also be metaphorical, I don't know, but you know, how do you guys as a couple deal with this? Because she's part of the game in a way, even if she's not visible right now, but you know, how does she cope with that now? What's her support or approach to what you're doing?
Yes, to answer the first part of the question, there is this image which basically wants to talk about this concept or about this problem or about this idea. This image is entitled Build Your House on the Rock. And again, there is some part of this entire thing which is very unstable, and I don't really know if I ever should talk about it. But so now I do. I'm like a trained Catholic. I used to go to church when I was a kid like that, and then I just quit, and I got fed up with the entire system. But I think the Bible itself just gave me some kind of education, or I also think that our culture, like Europeans, it's also called the culture of Jewish Christian culture. And it's based on the Bible in a way. I don't really know if I agree with that, but I remember a part of the Bible where there is the saying of Jesus. Then when he's you know, he was always giving speeches, and one of the speeches about the stupid man builds his house on the sand, and the wise man builds his house on the rock. And when the storm comes, the house built on the sand will collapse, and the house built on the rock will remain stable. So be the man who is building his house on the rock. And this is, of course, it's an example. And then later, when Jesus is captured, he gives orders to the students, and there is one named Peter, and he says to Peter that he gives he requests him to build the church of Christianity or whatever. And my name is Peter, and Peter means rock in many languages, and this is an illustration that am I strong enough to be the foundation of a house, to be a foundation of a family? I know that I have like many doubts, and I have I don't know. So these are the ways where I'm trying to express this kind of problems or I don't know, whatever. At the same time, my wife tries to support me as much as she can, of course, and I think the best way is the communication between us. This helps a lot when you are able to communicate with your partner, so we are trying to find a balance between family and work again. You know, this is always the main thing when you come to this certain point.
Yeah, and I guess, I mean, I'm a young father myself, and I'm not in the same situation, but in terms of having a life that is, or some feels at least sometimes quite unstable, and then means also that you get to travel a lot, you be away from your family, and you have all these expectations resting on your shoulders. One, some of them you build yourself, others you kind of digest, you get from outside. So I guess there is a lot of things that you're actually addressing here, and it's very very personal. But on the other hand, I myself, being in that kind of familiar situation, or it felt familiar to me, and I could relate to it immediately. What I think is interesting, or what I would want to know from you, in terms of, again, coming back to the question that I was already asking, you know,
many times.
Yeah. No. But you know, you, the artist Peter Puklush, and the expectations there. Maybe also the expectations from yourself, what you see as success there. I mean, you are a successful artist, you just won a major European photography grant in order to proceed with that work. And what do you feel in terms of expectations from the art world in terms of your work? Is there a strong pressure on your shoulders? Is there also a pressure when you're, you know, addressing all these very personal subjects and the personal project that we're talking about? And does it make you feel comfortable or very?
No, it doesn't. Yeah. No, it's very uncomfortable in a certain way. That's the first time when I won this kind of price or this amount of money, and I feel like now I really have to show something. So, and that this is really really some kind of pressure, which I would say doesn't really help. But by the other hand, I know that there is a certain attention around it, and there is a great platform which is going to show my works, and then it's going to be a big audience looking at it, and I like this part. Also, from the art world, there is a certain problem. What I see, that as I told you, that I prefer to see myself not a photographer but an artist, and I would like to combine these things together in a way. And what I realized in the last couple of years, when I'm paying pretty close attention to what is happening on the art market, especially while I'm having gallery representations, what I realized that that very these kind of very like strong or extensional existential topics are not really present in the current discussions of the art. Probably maybe in this as you mentioned once in this Biennale style, Venice Biennale style, you can see a little bit more talking about life and things like that. But in this fine art gallery world, it's like it seems like it's excluded. These kind of topics are not accepted in this world, and I don't know if it's a good strategy, you know, because also you have to have a strategy when you are an artist. So that's also a problem that I have to face, that I would like to go to a field which is excluding the topic I'm working on at the moment. So it's
Yeah, you're kind of on very unstable terrain. That's how it's.
Yes.
Or maybe you perceive it as being so. I don't know. I think we should wrap it up here, even
yes.
leaving you on this sort of unstable terrain. But that's what I was just about to do. Like, yeah. Ask you if now there is anybody having questions. And
yeah, I was just wondering, because when you were saying that your work still, of course, is in process, so on the first, my first question would be how you work and how you go on, like if it's always that you have a concept and then you think, like you'd see the picture first in your head and you know exactly what you do and you're looking for this picture, or is it more like just by chance that you take pictures and then you... That's my first question.
Okay.
And the other one is that, of course, I feel like if you ask a psychologist about your work, she will say, yeah, it's about yourself. And I think our own work always, of course, is about ourselves, because we are
Thank you.
Yeah, because we are the people who take the pictures. And of course, it's so much of yourself in your work. So, and then I was thinking, why do you really need a mother hero? So is it important that she's... Do you want to show her, or I feel like why isn't she in all those pictures? You know, for me, it's really interesting to look at these pictures and then think of the mother hero of the title, and I can see her in every picture. I think that's much mm-hmm. more interesting. So
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, I'll leave you with this now.
Okay, so that was 2.5 questions. the answer for the first question is that we are here. The base of these of all of my project, and yeah, thank you for the question, because I mentioned that I was going to talk about the drawings, but I didn't. So what I would like to show to you here is that there are many, many drawings which are the, let's say, the base of my future photographs. And these are very simple things, not really explaining the picture itself. This is only the rough ideas what I would like to work with this concept. And all of my photographs are planned in a certain way. And this is usually the platform where I work, or where I blah, 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 a lot. So these are the plans for the future, a lot. So this is the way how I work, that when I have an idea, I just quickly draw it. Maybe I can show you my notebook, it's full of drawings. And then when I have time, I go back to certain drawing, I develop the idea further, I organize it because it needs models, lighting, studio, whatever, and then I create the picture. Second question was, psychologist, I understand, you are right. I will tell her. Well, actually, I told her that your job is very easy, because what the only thing what you are doing is blaming the parents of the of your client. And and she said, well, basically yes, but it's a little bit more complicated than that. The third question was yes. Yeah, because it's a title that I what I said, and also yes, I think I need it, and she will come in a certain way, and then I will decide if it's. But I like what you are saying. Thank you.
Are there some more questions?
Yeah. There's one.
There is
do
one
need,
here.
Do you need the microphone? Can you maybe we can? Yeah, maybe we can hear that.
Yeah, it's very interesting to hear and talk about these things. I was actually a little bit curious about also your education. You said you did a doctorate, and I was wondering how your kind of research studies informs your practice, how it sort of gave you resources to think like. Maybe from history of photography, or maybe from more philosophical issues.
Okay.
And then I also had sort of a second curiosity about the singular image or the singular work as contrasted with the work which is sort of a great series of interconnecting images that you are basically making. Are you urging for also maybe at some point to make more singular autonomous images?
Okay, first I answer the second question. I hope or I believe that all of my images at certain point will be able to serve or to be like a singular image themselves. And then I hope or I'm trying or whatever to make them to connect or to communicate to each other. So it's like building a network of entities, like units, and they work separately and they have to work together as well. So that's the main goal. Education, yeah, it's important. I was a little bit loose with the details of my doctoral studies. I didn't support my thesis, actually. So I went through the studies and then I just disappeared from the school, and it's still ahead to support my thesis. And the project or the idea what I applied for the doctoral studies it's just way behind me. So I don't care about it anymore. So I have to rethink and redo everything. Yeah.
Someone else wanting to ask a question? Because if not, I'd say
goodbye.
Yeah, or you say goodbye, I say thank you. Thank you for. Or
well, first, I want to say I really enjoyed you talking about your work, and I really like the humor you're also supporting with the work. So the humor, which is. You're talking about doubts, but how you solve them is with humor, and that's something very, very nice, and you're playing with big ideals and little things and putting them all on stage, and I really enjoy seeing all these different kind of aspects, the meta thesis and the little detail connected with this kind of humorous network or something. What role does the humor play in your work? Or an idea of humor, maybe. Maybe there is no humor, but to me,
there is.
Humor speaks to me, so to say.
Okay. Before I published my first book ever, I made some kind of, let's say, research in photo books, and this research means that I looked closely two books. One was Christian Peterson's Red-Headed Peckerwood, and the other was Alex Stott's Niagara. And I was trying to find out what is the main driver of these two books, which used to be, or which are still my favorites in the history of photo books. And I realized that, that there is a lot of humor in these two projects, what I wasn't really aware before, and I wanted to incorporate it. And now it's a tool what I'm using and I'm trying to develop. And I choose these two images just to illustrate a little bit the idea. Like this is entitled the, I'm not sure if I pronounce it correctly in German, but it has a German title, the Glückliche Baumeister. And it's based on the idea of the Michelin man, you know, built by tires. Probably you are familiar with this form of this logo. And here is the idea. It's like a self-portrait that I'm able to build a house and I'm happy about it. And I'm just jumping. Like, we don't know from where to where, but he's jumping at least. So it seems to be like a happy person, but probably he or she is not. I don't know. And the other thing, what I wanted to use as an illustration for the humor, that I like to play with the language. And for example, this image is entitled Erection, and in English, erection means many things. You can erect a house, you can erect a statue, then we go to the heroism, that who is a hero, who has a statue, or, and of course the penis is erected, and this is something which is, let's say, crucial to build a family, or part of it in the natural case. So it's like, again, playing with this kind of, ideas, that uncertainty or ambiguity. Yeah. So never being sure about the actual meaning of the idea of the thing. Yes.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Yeah. To me, it speaks very much. Well then, thank you for your talk, I would say. Thank you for showing us all these ideas and images. And thanks a lot also to Simon for moderating this talk. We will do a little pause here so you can get yourself something to drink. We will rearrange the space a little bit. And after that, we will show four other works and talk about it.